Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our expository study of the Gospel of Luke in Luke 17, verses 31 through 33, titled, Remember Lot's Wife. The conclusion of this two-part study can be found on our website at BBFOhio.com. You'll also find many other free resources, as well as our contact and donation information at BBFOhio.com. Now we begin with a current events update, and then our study in Luke chapter 17, verses 31 through 33, titled, Remember Lot's Wife. This is part one of two.
Of our current events updates, number one, non-liberal states continue to ward off the insanity of the woke wickedness. Oklahoma governor signs a ban on non-binary birth certificates. You mothers who gave birth, I'm sure you took one look and knew whether it was a boy or girl. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt signed a bill Tuesday explicitly prohibiting the use of non-binary gender markers on state birth certificates. The message is that if you want to be insane and go along with this woke stuff, you're free to do it. Do so. You have no right to demand that we go insane with you. That's the message.
Amen.
The bill followed a flap last year over the Oklahoma State Department of Health's agreement in a civil case allowing a non-binary option. The birth certificate in that case was issued to an Oklahoma-born Oregon resident who sued after the agent initially refused the request. People who are non-binary do not identify with traditional male or female gender assignments. There are two genders.
Amen.
A small number are born with physical abnormalities. I spelled it better than I pronounced it. But all, if you do the examination, you will find they either have an XX or XY, making them female if they're XX, male if they're XY chromosomes. Those who are born with those physical abnormalities almost always have one functioning body, what you'd say, reproductive organ, and it's either the male or the female. And so most of these abnormalities, they do a surgery, and the sex or gender is established physically and visibly as well as it is by looking at the chromosomes. There is a tiny, tiny number of people who are born without functioning reproductive organs, and in some cases neither are present in a very clear way. And our hearts should go out to them. And we should be very sympathetic, but we also need to understand that they're being used as a political football by the woke crowd whenever in reality they are a tiny, tiny number of people. And so while we aren't going to allow them to use that, that's a result of sin. Sin came in the world and death by sin. All disease, all sickness, all death is because of sin. If someone dies of a disease, it doesn't mean they sinned and got that disease because of their sin necessarily. Some cases they do. But all of us are going to die. And why? Because sin is in the world. And so you take a baby, it's born with a deformity. Why is that baby deformed? Well, sometimes mom might have done some kind of drugs or something. Sometimes incest will produce that kind of thing. There's other reasons. Sometimes two people to get together and their genes just mix and make a combination that causes abnormalities and that sort of thing. Why? Because of sin. And so we aren't going to then turn over the whole world and pretend that this isn't the fact. But we have to face something. And this sounds like I'm just being critical or trying to insult somebody. I'm not. It is a fact that liberals hate the truth. They hate science and they love lies. And so we have to confront them with that. You say, how? Well, here's one. Just an example. Liberals have lied for 50 years claiming that this is just a blob of tissue. Folks, that is not a blob of tissue, that's a baby.
Amen.
And I don't care who you are, and I don't care if it's your mother. Well, happy Mother's Day. If your mother says that's not a baby, your mother's a liar. I don't care who it is. I don't care about your feelings and your opinion when it comes to fact, when it comes to science, when it comes to killing a baby. And Americans since 1973 should have been much more loud about that. And only in recent years has there really been any hope of seeing Roe v. Wade overturned. And they're going to try to use that to get out the vote and keep liberals elected and keep liberals on the courts. And I'm telling you this again, what I'm about to say is not political. Doesn't matter. I don't care if you don't even vote. You need to understand this. If you have liberals, and that includes some progressives in the Republican Party, and if they are elected in the Senate, then they will pack the federal courts with judges who are liberal. And what a liberal means, or a progressive, what that means is they do not believe the Constitution. They believe it is a living, breathing document. And that means they can make it say whatever they want. It will be the end of our constitutional republic. If that's what you want, then vote for them. But that right there is a beating heart. That is a living child. And that's only about 20 weeks in. And again, anybody says, well, I don't believe that's a baby. Well, are you willing to look at the facts? Are you willing to look at the science? Most of these people aren't. As a matter of fact, they don't care because they know they're killing a baby. Like Whoopi Goldberg on The View this week. Did you see that? She wanted to, I don't watch The View. I mean, it's out on a clip out there and everybody's passing around and it's on Twitters and Facebook, and which I'm not on those either, but I saw it on MeWe and Telegram and some of those. And if you watch, she doesn't want to discuss the facts. As she's talking, she's becoming emotional. She's flailing about. She's saying this and saying that and don't want you to talk about that. If what they're saying is true, Whoopi could put that on the screen while she's talking and explain to you why that's not killing a human baby. And that's what anybody goes on The View, talks to any of them, or goes on the ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, goes on particular shows on Fox, MSNBC, whatever, goes on these news shows, and only agree to go on if while you're talking about the baby, you get to show the baby. They won't do it. They don't want you to think about the reality. It can be aborted in most states now, up to 24 weeks. That's what they're killing. Look at it. That is what they're killing. What amazes me is that God has not poured out His judgment on this country already. God's grace and mercy and patience and long-suffering ought to put us on our knees. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We deserve to be destroyed from sea to shining sea. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love. God is asking those supporting the murder of those little babies and those who are supporting this idea there's more than two genders and all this other stuff they're supporting. He's asking this question. Proverbs 1:22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scornings? And fools hate knowledge? How long? You're talking, if we put these, that's why we make sure that camera's working and everything. We put it on the radio. We'll put this on the internet. If you listen to this today and you support the killing of unborn children, I got a question for you, fool. How long are you going to hate knowledge? Yep. Pushing this sodomite agenda? Fool. How long are you going to hate knowledge? I'll tell you how long. Till you stand before God on Judgment Day. That'll be the end of that. And number two, anything but to acknowledge God. Anything. This is being taught in an Ivy League school and it's being taught on numerous Ivy League schools. Ivy League used to be the cream of the crop in this country. Now it's the dumbest of the dumb. You want to waste your money and destroy your child, send them to an Ivy League school. If they get out of there with any sense at all, it'd be a miracle. Aliens created our universe in a lab. Scientists should be in quotes. Could our universe have been created in a petri dish? Avi Leib seems to think so. The Harvard astronomer posits that a higher class of civilization may have conjured up our universe in a laboratory far, far away. Hey, man. Neil deGrasse Tyson, I've heard him espouse that possibility.
Well, that's true.
But they're not willing to give God the credit. They want to credit aliens with the intelligent design. But as I said, I've heard Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's considered the spokesperson for evolutionary cosmology these days. He's espoused that same thing. People, it's insanity. Now, just if you're going to talk to somebody about this, grant the possibility for conversation's sake. Someone still had to create the aliens.
Yep.
Where'd the aliens come from?
Yep.
Well, they were probably created by somebody. Well, where'd they come from? You just keep asking that question because there's got to be at some point a being. We've talked about this in our Proverbs studies. If you're not listening to those, you're missing out on a daily 5-minute Proverbs study every morning, Monday through Friday. And on Fridays, we've been talking about evidence for God. And we were talking about this just last week, that there has to be a being behind all this. Cosmological argument, the Kalam cosmological argument, and also the teleological argument. There's obvious design, as you said. There's purpose to this planet. If there's design and purpose, then logically there has to be someone behind that. It's just pure insanity to reject the existence of God to begin with. And then of all the gods on the table, a lot of people don't know this, but most religions don't believe in a God. I mean, Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, animism, they don't believe in a God. And so you're really down to kind of Islam, Judaism, Christianity, and their various sects and cults. Well, I dare you to give this book a chance without running to all your unbelieving ignoramus, agnostics, whatever you want to call them, that deny God, and sit down with a believer who knows the book and let them tell you why. Because I got saved because I tested this book and I tested the other books. And I could tell those other books are basically poetic nonsense.
Amen.
This is a historic book. This has prophecies into the thousands. The idea that any man could come up with this book is astronomically not even possible when it comes to the chances and the odds.
Amen.
There's no other book on the planet like this Bible. There's none other than Jesus Christ who could be the Messiah described in this Bible. It's either Jesus or fry.
Amen.
And Jesus, according to the Bible, is the Creator.
Amen.
People don't read that in their Bible. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
Amen.
Read the same thing over in Hebrews 1, Colossians 1. You run back to Genesis 1, when it says, in the beginning God created. It's talking about Jesus.
Amen.
God says of this generation, the majority, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Amen.
Yep. Now, we have a few visitors. Just want you to know, I didn't pick this title or this study. We go verse by verse through the book of Luke. And I have to assume that everybody here is here because God has a reason for you to hear this message. But one year, Mother's Day, this is going way back. I was in my late 20s. And Mother's Day came along, and we were doing a study on heaven and hell, and it just happened to be that week we were preaching on hell.
Wow.
And so we had one of these visitors come in, and he was with his mom. I think he was out of town, but he always flew in out of town. I guess it's kind of like Paul here comes in. He didn't fly in, but his arms aren't tired. But he'd come in to see, be with mom and everything. And after it was over with, he came up to me, just big-eyed, and shook my hand. He said, I just want to thank you. He said, for 25 years I've heard the same sermon over and over and over and over every time I come to visit Mom. He said, and I couldn't believe you were preaching on hell of all things. He was just tickled. So I hope that's how you feel this morning. Jesus has just prophesied in our verse-by-verse study we saw last week. He just prophesied that the days preceding His return would be as it was in the days of Lot. And that's where we pick it up. So let's read. I'll have you read the odd verses. So you jump right in there with verse 31 through 33. Just read them all with me. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Amen?
Amen.
So before Jesus returns, all the Jews will abandon Israel and run for the hills in the wilderness of Petra. And that's what Jesus is describing here in verse 31. And he says, in that day, he's talking about that day when he returns. Now, the return of Jesus is not the rapture. They're two different events. We've got a study out there we taught a number of years ago. We'll probably go over it again sometime. But it shows the differences. That when Jesus raptures the church, he does not come to the earth. When Jesus returns, there will be a post-trib rapture, but they don't leave out of here. The Jews are all taken to Israel, and then there's a judgment, and Jesus does land on the earth. That's just two of the differences. Now, the old saying is what? Things that are different are not the same. So keep that in mind. But we're going to come back to that. This is a specific warning to Jews living at the time of the return of Christ. And we'll come back to that next week in our next study if the rapture hasn't happened before then. But Jesus' words also have been a warning to all believers throughout the entire church dispensation. He's speaking in that verse specifically of the Jews at the end time. But then he says this in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. And that has made a lot of believers, including me, pause. As the reading through this, he stopped. He just, now, granted, the chapters and the verses have been, delineated about 12th century A.D. And so if you read a Greek text, the correct text is the received text. And if you read that, then there's no numbers any separating this out. But even I've been told by Greek experts, the only Greek expert I know has Gyro restaurant down in West Jeff. But if you read these guys, they'll tell you that this stands out in the text even as you're reading it. That he's talking about this end time stuff, and all of a sudden he just stops and says, remember Lot's wife. And then he'll say more, and we'll see that in just a second. But remember in the context, he says this, as he has just told us in previous verses, as it was in the days of Lot. Now, what happened to Lot's wife? Some of you know the story. At this point, our mothers may think this message is directed at them. I want to remind them it's not. But I will say if the shoe fits. It is. But it's not just about a mother gone bad. I think I'm not going to have any problem with anybody saying this, but I think Lot's wife turned out to be a pretty bad wife.
Yep.
Pretty bad mother.
Amen.
Yep. You don't want to be that way, Mom. Amen?
Amen.
But Scripture was Scripture. Let's go back and look at this. When Jesus says to remember something, you know what you ought to do?
Remember it.
Remember it. How do you do that? Go look it up and read it. Especially if he's talking about something in the Bible. Genesis 19, beginning with verse 15. I'm going to start reading as you turn there. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Of course, the context is God's about to destroy Sodom. He's going to destroy five cities in total originally, and he He leaves Zoar because Lot and his family end up there. But verse 16 says, "And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife." So look at that. Don't give Lot a free pass here. I mean, I don't know about you, but I just don't think I'd still be around at this point. They've already been telling them what's going to happen. They've already seen these angels in action. The men had gathered the house with old and young and tried to get their hands on these angels. And they blinded them. And these guys are walking around blind in the street. Okay, that's a pretty good sign that whatever these guys say they're going to do, they're going to do. And they're telling them the whole city's about to be destroyed. And they're still lingering. And they had to laid hold upon his hand, grabbed his hand, grabbed his wife's hand to pull on them, to get them to leave. And upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." I don't believe that. I believe Lot could have made it to the mountain. But you know, we're going to see God accommodates him. There's a lot of people who are like that in their Christian walk. They're always making excuses. "I can't do this." And God will, in spite of that, God will still answer their prayers. God will still bless them in many ways, even though they're shortchanging Him all the time. And so verse 20 says, "Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken." Now look, it says in verse 22, "Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And so we'll see that Zoar is spared. And Bible humor, Jenny is always, every time there's something, "Is it not a little one?" But you can steal that and use it. But beginning verse 23 says, "The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar." Now read 24 through 26 with me. "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt." Now it doesn't say that she turned around, looked back and became a pillar of salt without anything else happening. But it could have happened that way. Some have claimed that with the way that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, that it could have been God had caused some of the effects of that to then land on her and cause that to happen to her. And it's a strange thing, if you've ever seen the videos, and I recommended a couple, I think last week, you'll see pillars every once in a while. And there's one in particular that has been known for centuries as Lot's wife. Because it looks like a woman. Just a silhouette, you know, from a distance. But it makes sense that they would name that, but we don't know for sure that's her. But it's a very interesting thing. But if you go back and read Josephus says that that's always been known as Lot's wife. Big pillar out there. Could be. But the point was, what did she do wrong? She's looking back. She was told, "Don't look behind you."
They said, "Don't do it."
Yep. Of course, what's that represent? I'm going to tell you this. I have known too many Christians who were told as we learned in our Sunday school this morning. You're supposed to come out of the world.
Amen.
Bible says, look not at those things behind, press forward to the mark of the high calling, the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. And too many Christians, somewhere along the way, turn around and look back on the world, and they get sucked right in, and they make shipwreck. So, you saying Lot's wife was saved? Well, we've talked about Old Testament salvation, and I don't believe so. But, could be. You say, how? Well, Lot is a righteous man, and he wasn't, you know, father of the year. Amen? I'm going to say something very controversial, but I want you to understand this. I'm not promoting suicide when I say this, but I believe there have been good Christian people in a moment do something crazy.